That's me. Good to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online. My dear friends, online, of course, at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure, and we've got ourselves a loaded show for you here today in Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly, coming up here very, very shortly, and also coming up towards the, actually, that's towards the bottom of the hour, as we'll be joined by the first-year head coach for the University of Jamestown men's basketball squad, Casey Bruggeman. He'll be joining us here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to that. And I look forward to my compatriot just across the way joining me here on the microphone. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's a Tuesday. Tuesday really doesn't have much of a feel, but my daughter's turning 10 months old today, which is good. It's exciting and, you know, all good things.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You got anything special or just kind of a low-key type of day?
No, she's under the weather right now.
Yep.
Ear infection.
Okay, that's what the official word is?
Yeah, took her in yesterday, ear infection, and she's on some sort of antibiotic. So, had a stomach bug last week that turned into the ear infection and yada, 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 and now she's under the weather.
She's battling.
She's battling. But
hopefully she gets better.
She's hanging in there, that is for sure. Once again, coming up in just a bit, Casey Bruggeman, head coach for the Jamestown men's basketball squad. He'll be joining us. But first and foremost, as we get to the jump here, everyone knows the national champs last night. Of course, that was UConn. And I saw, what does it take to become a Husky? I saw this online here this morning as their head coach, Coach Hurley, talked about what makes a Husky. And I thought this was very, very interesting as it pertains to who he recruits. Go ahead.
There's measurable talents you have to have, right? The height, the speed, the skill set. But we spent a lot of time really focusing on the parents.
The parents?
Yeah, on the parents. Are they going to be fans while they're on campus of their son, or are they going to be, or are they going to be parents? Are they going to hold them accountable, have an expectation that when something goes wrong, that it's not the coach's fault, that it's their son's got to work harder, he's got to do more, he's got to earn his role. We've got a real old school culture here of accountability. I'm an old school coach in terms of the tone I take with my players in practice, the expectations with effort, the focus on winning and we over me.
Like, what does that mean?
Have they played on seven different travel teams? Have they transferred to four or five different high schools? When you talk to the parents in the recruiting process, are they constantly complaining about the coaches after a bad game, or are they, you know, sending you a text or you having a conversation, where their son has got to do more, he's got to play harder, he's got to work on his skills. They tell on themselves, they drop hints, and you've got the wrong type of kind of, you know, people in that inner circle around your players. They'll sink your program.
They'll sink your program. I thought that was really, really interesting. So just a little FYI to all the moms and dads out there, if you want your son or daughter to play at the next level, they can figure it out. I know you can offer guidance and that sort of thing, but you've got the national champion, two-time national champion and the head coach and Coach Hurley here saying, you know, I'm looking at the parents quite a bit. So just a little FYI out there.
Pretty interesting. You don't hear that very often, do you?
So, no.
I mean, Coach Hurley there at UConn, he's cementing himself as a top 10, top 5 college basketball coach of all time with what they've been able to do already. I mean, he's just at the beginning here for that program. They lost three starters last year, Tukes, and they had an incredible run last year, won the national champion, and they backed that up with the number one seed this year and really no really no force whatsoever from a team. They dominated this tournament.
Nothing was close. This was the closest game, 15 points there last night, and I heard an incredible stat this morning on my way in that they have won their last, I think it's 9 or 10 games in March in terms of March Madness in the tournament. None of them have come by single digits. They have won every game by double digits.
Also, when they have a lead at the half, they're 33-0.
That's nuts.
That's incredible. They were up by 6. It felt like Purdue was playing pretty good, Tukes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down 6 at the half.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it was 15, game over. But Coach Hurley and that program, that's a definition of powerhouse right now.
You've got that straight. The Big East does it again. I'm telling you, man. Big East, at some point in time, I'm going to have to get some flowers from the national media because, for me, it's the best conference in the country. I know some people say other conferences, what have you, but, I mean, I'm a Big East guy through and through. I know you're a Big Ten guy being from Penn State, but I'm a Marquette guy, so I'm waving that Big East flag, but kind of interesting. And just his comments on moms and dads out there,
yep.
He pays attention to what they say. So, obviously, you can have a son or daughter that's a great student-athlete and all that good stuff, but coaches, and I think any coach that's worth their salt, probably takes that into account too, mom and dad. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, no, and that was a great conversation, and you could just kind of tell the culture that they build there, and it's a winning culture, and that program right now, they're the best in all college basketball. They're going to be remembered, at least these two teams, as maybe the best ever. So really incredible stuff.
Really, really good run for this squad, for sure. Coming up next on the show, we'll talk with the head coach of the Jimmies, the University of Jamestown men's basketball squad, Casey Bruggeman. He'll be joining us live coming up after this on FSA. We're back on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. We are pleased to be joined by the first-year head coach of the Jamestown men's basketball squad. He is Casey Bruggeman joining us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
David, appreciate you having me on. Really excited to be here.
Great to have you on for sure. And you spent the last handful of years there at UMD and Duluth, that is, of course, and then with USD there as well. I'm just kind of curious on how this whole situation came to be and your genesis of the first-year head coach up there in Jamestown.
Well, first off, really excited to be up here at the University of Jamestown. Obviously pretty close to Aberdeen here, and there'll be a lot of familiarity as we start competing in the NSIC in 2 years. So it's an awesome place to work, awesome place to live, and super grateful to be the head coach here. Yeah, I kind of had the last couple of years down the Summit League at the University of South Dakota, and then prior to that, 6 years in the NSIC. So when the position came open in November, I was like, dang, this would be a really great fit for me. I'm from Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, originally. Some Wolves fans might know Ty Storson from back in the day, a Wolves guard. He's also from Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. But that's only about 2 hours away from Jamestown. So when the position came open in November, I was like, dang, this would be a great fit for me, especially as they transition to the NSIC. It's a league I really love. My brother played at Southwest Minnesota State. They had some epic battles with Ian Smith-led Wolves teams. Mm-hmm. And it's just a league that I have a lot of great memories in. And the chance to help this program transition into the NSIC was a challenge that I thought would be a lot of fun and one I wanted. So when the process came about, it started in January. Austin Heeb, who worked at Northern there for a few years, called me up. It happened pretty fast after that. I had a good connection with him, with Greg Ulin. Got on campus and really loved it and was fortunate enough for them to offer me the job. And I've been boots on the ground as soon as the Summit League tournament ended. Got up here right away and met the guys. And it's been a great first month here in Jamestown.
You probably already answered this question, but what kind of sparked your interest in that job? Was it the fact that, hey, you know, grew up close to, you know, Jamestown? Was it the fact that you are moving to the NSIC in a couple years and you have NSIC experience? What kind of sparked your interest, or the ultimate thing that really made you want to come here?
I think it was kind of the perfect fit for me, Matt, and just a chance to lead a program, first and foremost, be a head coach. That was something I was hoping to get the chance to do. And head coaching jobs are hard to get, right? A lot of great coaches never get that opportunity to lead a program. So I'm very fortunate at my age to be in this position and be a head coach. So first and foremost, just kind of having that opportunity. And then you add on top that close to home, going into the NSIC, awesome facilities, and a university that has their values that really align with my personal values was awesome. So it's just kind of a perfect fit for me, and a lot of excitement here because of this challenge of going to the NSIC, because it will be a challenge. And I love that. I love embracing that, and it'll be a lot of fun here at Jamestown. But yeah, really, it was just a great fit.
Casey Bruggeman joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. And being the fact that you know the NSIC quite well, does that give you, I don't know if leg up on the competition is the right way to describe it, but maybe it puts you in a position to maybe get this program off on the right foot, knowing that you know the way of the land? That's got to help, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if it makes it easier or harder knowing how good the NSIC is. I mean, top to bottom, just look at the league this past year. I think you probably had 5, 6, 7 teams that bounced in and out of the top 25. Obviously, Mankato winning it all. Just an awesome Division II conference in all sports, but especially basketball and on the men's and the women's side. So, yeah, it's great to kind of know probably what it takes from a player standpoint, from a system standpoint to be successful. I'm not sure it'll make it any easier on us up here just because I have so much respect for all the head coaches and assistant coaches in that league. Everyone does a tremendous job of recruiting to their system, and there's a lot of very well-established programs in the NSIC. But, yes, there is some familiarity, and I think it will help us a little bit here just knowing, like, hey, this is the type of size, athleticism, skill level, and just how hard you got to play night in and night out just to give yourself a chance. And I think that would be our big goal stepping into the NSIC. Like, we want to make sure we come in there and are competitive. And we're going to have to work hard at that because I have so much respect for how good basketball is in the Northern Sun Conference.
This might be a broad question for you here, Casey, but what should we expect as a Casey Bruggeman led team, like the philosophy, you know, what are you going to try to instill here in your first year and years to come?
I think the big thing for me, it's always players first, relationships with the players first. And I'd hope that you would see that on display with how close our guys respond to adversity or how close they stick together when adversity comes on the court, and how connected we are as a team, both player to player and coach to player. So first and foremost, just having a very connected team, one that handles themselves with a high level of class. And I've had some great role models in my life for some of the bosses that I've worked for in the past, and even guys like Paul Sather, right? Just have a ton of great role models that I've looked up to in the past. So, I mean, from a philosophy standpoint, style of play, I think it's going to kind of figure itself out as you get the type of players you need to be successful in the NSIC. And we got some great players in-house right now. So it's just fun to get to know them and just understand, hey, what makes them great, and trying to put them in that position to be successful. So I think that's the biggest thing, just having great relationships with our players. And you'll see that hopefully with how we handle our business on the court, with how connected we are, with how tough we are, and especially how we handle adversity and being able to respond to that in the moment. And that's what I would hope would be kind of a signature of our team, that when fans and opposing teams see us play, they'd be like, dang, those guys are very connected. You can tell they're playing hard for each other, and their culture looks like it's very strong.
Head coach Casey Bruggeman joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, new head coach for the University of the Jamestown men's basketball squad on FSA. And you mentioned, guys, that you already have a part of the program now, but 2024 basketball says you got to re-recruit these guys almost, right? What's been kind of your pitch to get these guys to stay at Jamestown?
That's a great question, because as you know, there is a lot of shuffling of rosters in the spring. And the first order of business when I came here was just to meet with our guys right away. And it wasn't really about telling them about myself and what I wanted to do. I think they were curious to hear that, but it was more meeting with them, hearing what their experience has been like at UJ, hearing what they want for their future. And we were able to get 3 guys back for their 5th season here. They committed, almost recommitted as of 2 weeks ago to our program, which was huge. And those 3 guys were the most important recruits we could get to get them back for their 5th season. And we're excited about that. And I think all the other guys fell into place after those 3. And we got a great locker room here. I walked into a great situation from a buy-in standpoint, from a loyalty standpoint. But you know, I mean, guys have that choice to use their COVID year or not. And it was, hey, how could this be a great fit for you? And I told those guys that were debating whether or not to maybe go to PT school or come back and play their 5th year. I told them, hey, I hope a year from now, you'd be having the most fun you've ever had playing the game of basketball and be playing the best basketball of your life and also growing off the court. So there certainly was that re-recruiting of your own guys in, but it can be pretty simple. You just got to start by sitting down with them on a one-on-one basis and getting to know them, getting to know their family, getting to know what makes them tick, because it all starts with relationships.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you talked about handling adversity, and you know, I think this team last year handled adversity pretty well. You know, there was some shakeup at the coaching position to start the year. Somebody stepped down, a new guy stepped in. So, you know, the team last year finished 17-12, 12-8 in conference play, and they handled adversity pretty well. And so you're kind of going into a good situation. You already talked about, you know, relationships, you know, so you got to feel pretty good about that going into next year. I know it's a long ways away, but that's something to feel good about, right?
Absolutely. I give interim head coach Greg Eulen, who handled the second half of the season and some change there, a ton of credit. His staff did a tremendous job of putting their players in a position to be successful. They were 15-6 in the last 21 games. I think you could pull any coach in the country and ask if they'd take that record with 21 games, and I think they'd be like, all day long, we will take that. So credit to Coach Eulen and his interim coaching staff. They did a tremendous job. And also probably even more credit to the type of player leadership that they had in the program. There is a lot of impressive young men in that locker room, and their ability to handle things with maturity and just with a lot of poise and sticking together through what a lot of college athletes don't have to go through, or with a coaching change kind of mid-season, they handled it so well. And just getting to hear that and really giving them a lot of credit for that, because it was awesome how they handled it. And I think they made a lot of people in the Jamestown community proud.
Maybe one or two more each with head coach Casey Bruggeman here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Next year, of course, the final year of the North Star. You've got some really good teams in there, Dakota State, Bellevue, just to name a few. What do you kind of know about the NSAA? I know your long-term goal is, of course, to compete well at the NSIC level, but next year, of course, back in the NSAA for that conference's swan song, what do you know about the North Star?
North Star is a great league. Valley City, Mayville, yep. Like you mentioned, Dakota State, Bellevue, Dickinson State. There's going to be a lot of fun games throughout the conference next year. And at every level, what you'll find out is there are tremendous coaches that do a great job and really work hard year-round to build a roster with a lot of talent and toughness. And I know that's the case in the North Star as well. So I'm just looking forward to that. I've been very fortunate. I played Division III at Concordia College. Obviously spent some time in the NSIC at Marion Duluth, and then spent 2 years at the Division I level. So this will be my first taste at the NAI level this next year. So it's awesome for me to get to experience that. And I have a ton of respect for the North Star Conference and all of NAI. I think there'll be some fun matchups each and every night, especially with some of those regional ties to schools like Valley City for us to have those rivalry games on the schedule. It's going to be awesome. And I think our guys are really looking forward to having one more shot at a North Star championship and trying to make a run at an NAI championship as well. So we got a long ways to go. And there's a lot of great players and great teams and great coaches out there, but it definitely is exciting to have one more year in the North Star.
Yeah, Valley City Wars with Jamestown back in the day have always been very, very competitive and just really fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, Coach, and you know, you talked about you got a long way to go. What's that kind of look like here for you the next couple months? Obviously, getting into the summer and the fall here, spring. So what's that kind of look for you here the next couple of weeks?
We talk about in our program that every offseason we got to try to level up and level up in the weight room so we look different when we step foot on campus next fall. That guys have leveled up physically and leveled up their game as well. So we got a great group of players that they're very committed every single day, getting in the gym, getting shots up, and working hard in the weight room. Our strength and conditioning staff at University of Jamestown is tremendous. Coach Ryder is awesome. And our guys have been working hard here in spring workouts. And we're going to try to continue that momentum through finals here so that when guys leave to go home for the summer, they continue on that day-to-day getting in, working out, and getting better. So, yeah, we got a long ways to go, but the offseason's fun. You get a great opportunity to get better. And we have the right guys in our locker room. They're gym rats. They're committed. And I'm excited to see where they're going to be by the time next November rolls around.
Right, looking forward to that. And looking forward to the NSAA Swan Song next year. And looking forward to Jamestown in the NSIC here. Not next year, but the year following after that. Casey Bruggeman, thanks so much for taking some time, sir. And best of luck next year. And we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
David, Matt, thank you for your time.
Once again, head coach Casey Bruggeman joining us here, the head coach of the University of Jamestown men's basketball squad. And, of course, next year, the final year of the NSAA, and I think they've got as good a chance as any to win that conference next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you could tell Coach Bruggeman, he's into it. Just from that interview right there with him, this is a guy, he's got a lot of basketball experience and wanted that next opportunity to be a head basketball coach, and has a great opportunity with this Jamestown team here in the last year of the North Star, and as they go to the NSIC to do something special. He talked about the leadership they have on the squad already. I think bringing back those fifth-year seniors that he was talking about was huge, and then you get a new wave of talent as well. This team faced a lot of adversity last year with the coaches, you know, in and out. They had an interim head coach in the middle of the season. He talked about it. They finished 15-6, so this is a good group. He's in a great situation. He mentioned it. He feels like it's a perfect fit. And I got to tell you, I'm excited for Jamestown basketball next season.
And, of course, they got a couple of local ties here as well with Malik Weaker from Aberdeen Christian and Spencer Barr there from Aberdeen Central. So all the more reason for us to follow that squad there as well. So our thanks to head coach Casey Bruggeman for joining us here. That's going to do it for us in our live portion of the program here. We've got an extended Aberdeen Wings Weekly that's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Well, another edition of Wings Weekly starts now. And again, head coach Scott Langer is joining me. I'm Jay Kleinkenecht. Coach, coming off a split on the weekend here at the ODI Center, some exciting and fun hockey games and great crowds. We got to thank all the fans that came out for sure. A very exciting overtime win on Friday night there with Jibber Cool getting a long pass that allowed him to go in 1-0 and give the Wings a win and take those points away. Loss on Saturday, but again, an exciting and close contest. Your takeaways from the weekend. You know, Austin, we know they're a very good team, and they've got a lot of attributes for sure. Were you pretty happy with the way your team played?
Yeah, there was moments. I mean, I thought that I thought Friday night we started slow, but got better. Obviously, we went up and then gave up a quick one there to make it 2-2. But our third period was good. Obviously, the play from Mackey and Wisner to Jibber was a great play, and they were two big points. Saturday we had nothing going on in the first period. We just couldn't seem to get our feet going in that first period. We were very fortunate to come out of it where we were. But we play a good hockey game, we really did. And we make one mental error and obviously lose the game on a breakaway to their best score, you know, number one scorer. So that one was hard to swallow based on, you know, I thought we were starting to generate some things and making some plays. And to give a goal up like that, especially on a performance like Dybul had, he was outstanding all weekend, and he gave us an opportunity to win both nights. But that's a hard one to give up.
It surely is. But again, you know, in the hunt, and you're playing good hockey in a lot of aspects, and you know, it's late in the season, trying to piece things together in some ways. But We've talked several times actually over the course of the season about being outshot and how important it is to have those grade A chances. And there's teams. There's a lot of teams actually in the Central Division this year for one reason or another, whether it's St. Cloud or Austin or Minot or whatever, that like to throw shots to from the perimeter, and they're going to rack up shots on goal. You guys, again, being outshot, but yeah, the shots that you did have were good scoring chances. Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel like it's more important to take those high percentage shots?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Friday night game, they had 10 shots on their power plays, which was a big difference.
Special teams for sure.
You know, on the clock, showing the difference in shots. But, you do want more volume, you know, and you don't want to give up so many, you know, shots where you're asking your goaltender to make a lot of saves. But you know, this year's group is different in that way,
yeah,
than the past. But you know, we did get timely scoring. We had enough to win the hockey game both nights, and you know, that's what was important, you know. But I just think when you're heading into, if you are fortunate enough to find a way into the, you know, the second season in the playoffs, you know, you got to look to keep your opponent around 22, and we need to do a better job of that.
Few more block shots here and there, those kinds of things for sure. And again, some of those, you know, they're little like dribblers that are coming in from the logo, or you know, and you know, it's technically a shot on goal, but it's not a great scoring chance in some of those cases too. So you know, I say that during the broadcast, and I know you and I have talked about it, like I said, several times over the course of the year. But the more you put there, you know, that have chances, the better their scoring chances are. Anyway, weekend in the books. Great jersey auction on Saturday night. Excuse me. And, you know, great crowds, as I mentioned. Awards banquet yesterday. I wanted to roll through these with you. And just kind of not only acknowledge the winners of these awards, but also talk a little bit about, you know, like what they bring to the table. Of course, we start with the first award of the night was the Nancy Oatey Merit Award. Amanda Holland, the billet coordinator who has taken over and been in control of those things and having to kind of coordinate all of these things over the last, well, 3 years. But she's been a billet family. They've been a billet family for, I think, 14 years, I think the entire time, if I'm not mistaken. Well, how important is she? And when you have these visitors coming in and out, and you have these players here, you know, that are you know, away from home and so on, Amanda does a great job.
She's vital. She does a lot of work. She takes a lot off Eric and I's plate. It's not easy because there's a lot of moving pieces all the time with players coming in, affiliates, there's injuries, guys have to come in at the last hour. She's got to coordinate all that, you know, even from the start of the season where we're placing players into billet homes. I mean, she's got to know the families, she's got to know the personalities, and she's got to meet the players. She's a vital part of this staff. It just doesn't work without what she puts into it.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get, you know, no one gets to see what she does. She does it just because she obviously loves the game of hockey. She enjoys giving back. She's seen her two daughters go through hockey and now playing at a good level in college. And, you know, she's truly a solid piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, no doubt. She and her husband, Brian, have been, a billet family for a very long time. They've seen a lot of players come and go and have been a huge part of the Aberdeen Wings. But as you mentioned, even as Aberdeen Cougars, and their daughters were standouts there for sure. All right, on to the next award was the Rookie of the Year, which was Leo Bulgakov. Leo is the leading scorer on this team, and we talked about roles, I think it was last week, and about how fiery he's become. But he's also a guy that you lean on to, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to say expect or lean on maybe, but he, you know, he's a goal scorer. He's a skilled hockey player. How much has he meant to this hockey team?
Yeah, he's meant a lot, and you know, he's had to do it coming over here, very limited English, having to fight that language barrier, you know. Players and coaches, they forget sometimes that how hard it is for these players to come over from another country, mm-hmm. and they're trying to learn the language and they're not fully understanding what you're saying. And you know, he's come in and done a really good job there. And you know when Leo's on, we're a different hockey team,
mm-hmm.
and he's done a great job of putting up points. And you know, he's a big piece of the penalty kill, and you know, he's on the power play. So as a rookie, he eats a lot of minutes.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I think I even mentioned that you know, Tishkovich, certainly having the two of them play together since they were like 14 years old and having the connection there, clearly Nikolai has helped in that regard too. But I can remember meeting Leo at the showcase in Blaine, and you mentioned the language barrier. I was trying to explain to him where the boys were playing Suey. They're over, you know, and he's looking at me like, what? And I'm like, they're over there. And it didn't even occur to me that, like, it's... And he's looking like he was completely lost and wandering around the Schwann Center there at the showcase. And I'm trying to guide him, and I'm like grabbing him by the arm, and I'm pointing him like, they're over there. And he just looked at, no. So then he went that way and found him. But it just, that was quite a shock to me that I was like, he really, his English was definitely limited to start the season, and how much better he's got, even in that capacity, as the season has gone along, is really impressive. And no doubt Nikolaj Tishkovich has helped in that regard too. But to be able to communicate and to be able to go through, when you're talking penalty kill meetings and power play meetings and watching video sessions and all of those things, that is a challenge. But he kudos to him, because he's done a great job. So congratulations on the Rookie of the Year for him. Most improved player, Jibber Cool. Overtime winner on Friday night, and we've seen this young man who has increased his minutes as the season has gone along. We continue to see him play more and more, and just really continue to improve. And that he's a young guy. You know, he's got a lot of hockey future ahead of him too.
Yeah, he's an 05, so you know, he was an easy scratch in the beginning, really easy scratch. Didn't think twice about keeping him out of the lineup. And then I would say just after Christmas, he didn't come back because he was sick. He had to stay home, but then he joined the team, and then he kind of got back at it, and then his game just started to grow. And his confidence level, you know, he started to buy into what we were preaching, what we think a hockey player looks like, and what it takes to be a hockey player on a successful team. And, you know, Jibber started to stick his nose in it more. He started to get a little hungrier on wall battles and get pucks out. And, you know, then he's developed a bit of a scoring touch and a playmaking touch. And he's a hard scratch now.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you can't scratch now. And, you know, we've had some players in the room do a really good job as rookies this year, but Jibber completely stole that award. And the guys really respect him that have been here since the beginning of the year in training camp to where he is today. He's now in a place where he can start looking at some Division I interest.
Well, and it's funny because we often talk about, or, you know, in sports, no matter what sport it is, make it impossible for them not to play you. Like, you do the work. They don't have a choice. They've got to play you. They need you. And that is what he has kind of become here in the last half of the season for sure. And I would actually add to that his physicality. He's had some big hits and some, you know, some, a lot of physicality. You mentioned board battles and so on, but I think he's got, you know, the hit of the game a few times too. And he's been really a force in that way too. So it's just another one of the aspects, one of the components of the game for sure. Offensive player again, Leo Bulgakov. We already talked about him a little bit, but he's been a huge part of the offense for this Aberdeen Wings team. Defensive player. Now this is one that I feel like is a little bit, you know, like pretty close to your heart as a defenseman, and being a defensive minded guy, where you like to see low scoring games, and you love seeing blocked shots and all of those kinds of things. But then the guy comes up with two goals and an assist and hit of the game on Friday night. Nick Comfort. Congratulations to Nick Comfort on the Defensive Player of the Year. He's been a huge impact and a huge player in a very quiet way in a lot of ways, but his presence on the ice is not quiet.
He's a complete throwback style defenseman, where his number one prideful thing is to shut you down, and to block your shot and to play gritty. Obviously, he's developing some offensive instincts, which is good for him. It's good for us. What people don't see is who he's playing against every night. He plays against the top players on every other team. He's the first one over the boards to kill a penalty. You know, he's the last 5 minutes of the game on the ice because you trust him. He's the votes for that award weren't even close. It was Nick Comfort by a long mile. And I agree with it. I mean, if I need a guy to get something done defensively, I can look at Nick and give him a nod, and he knows exactly what he needs to do out there.
Great hockey IQ, too.
Yeah, he understands the game. But you know what? He never he doesn't care about any credit. He's not a credit guy. Like, he just comes in here, does his job, doesn't say a whole lot, leaves, works out, leaves, and then he's back at it the next day. He's an interesting hockey player that I had to be convinced to take him last year, and it was one of the best things that happened to this team, because he's a true warrior, I guess you can call him.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, throwback defenseman, and he does a heck of a job, and we sure appreciate him. Hard hat winner. Now, a hard hat is the worker. One of the workers. All of these guys are working, no doubt. But the hard hat award goes to somebody that is out there just pouring it on and helping their team in every way that they can. And again, these awards are all voted on by their peers, by the staff, by everybody that are working closely with them. Bennett Koepel getting the hard hat award, and like you said, you know, about Comfort, you know. Bennett's one of those guys too, really, that, you know, you just see him. He's just a grinder, and he's out there just doing that sandpaper stuff. He's working on the boards. He's battling on penalty kills or in board battles and stuff, and he's just a physical guy that just doesn't have a lot of – there was no give up in him. He's been a big attribute and a big part of this team too.
Yeah, you know, he bought into – he came in last year and bought into our culture and our identity really, really quick. He's another guy that you just, once he got in the lineup, you couldn't take him out. Because he just plays with such pace, you know. Like, you know, Koops isn't a goal scorer by any means or a setup guy, but he does all the dirty work that's needed. And that includes having every one of those guys on the bench's back.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that having Koop on the bench or even on the ice is some security for some guys. And Koop's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of anything. You know, he'll go through walls for his team, and he just plays at such a rate every night. And he does things behind the scenes that, you know, like when you're not watching Nick or Bennett's in here, you know, vacuuming floors. He's cleaning, he's doing things, he's taking out the trash for the first year guys that don't do their chores. We're gonna miss that kid.
Yeah, that's
gonna be a tough one. And you know, obviously he won the Hart Award too, and I know you're gonna get to that, but that's what he is.
Yeah.
Like, and he's gonna go to college and he's gonna play 4 years. He's gonna have a great time. He's gonna hopefully win a championship, because he's gonna be taking his ability to lead, you know, not just verbally, but he shows it. He's going to take that to a college, and they're just going to love him.
Well, and it's funny, just the personality. He's got a great sense of humor. He's just you know, again, a guy that the players around this locker room can lean on, and that they can really, you know, like you said, trust that he's going to have them. He's one of those guys, you know, that he doesn't ask questions. He just goes after them, because that's my guy. He's, you know, that, and you got to love that. I'm kind of old school in that sense, and I love that. The OD Community Service Award, huge part of this culture and of this team. Talked with Greg Odie about this a little while last night, and a little bit, you know, with Nancy as well, about, you know, the importance of these guys going out into the community and reading to elementary school kids, or helping them skate and giving them some lessons, or maybe working with them at the YMCA or whatever it might be. That is a big part of what this whole team is all about, and, you know, giving back to the community that supports them. And this year's recipient of that award was Drew Mackey. And really, knowing the family a little bit and stuff, not a huge surprise, but he's been fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I think he would have done even more. It seemed like everything that came up, he was, you know, he was willing to go do it. I think his brother won that award.
His brother did, yeah.
back when Gage was a last year player here, and you know, he ate it up as well. But you know, I mean, when you meet Drew and you talk to Drew, he's a very caring individual, and he understands. Because of the, you know, his dad owned a pro hockey team. He was involved in hockey, and he was a Drew and Gage were around hockey, you know, basically their whole life. That there's way more to the game than what you see on the ice. At the junior level, especially once you get to juniors and then on the pro, minor pro, it's all about giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. It's all about these guys learning how to talk in front of people and what it means to pay it forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, it's a Mackey, you know, and doesn't surprise me one bit he got the amount of votes that he got, but I know he was just always asking and willing to do things when they came up. He never shied away from it. So, you know, I think, you know, he'll be our vote for the NAHL Community Service Award as well. And,
it certainly doesn't surprise me. As we talked about, his brother won it. Gage had a huge influence, no doubt. But we know Gage was back in February, I think it was, somewhere right after the break, if I'm not mistaken. I had a chance to talk with him, and how polished he has become. And he was always, you know, obviously very great while he was here, but even more so now. And it's just like that, yeah, they're great people. And congratulations to Drew Mackey on that Community Service Award. And we thank you as a community, as Aberdeen, as Groton, as Ipswich, as Frederick, as Redfield, all the people that come to these games, we thank you for all the support that you give and all the hard work that you put in. You talked about a Coach Hart Award. Again, Bennett Koppel, can't say enough about the effort that he has put in as an Aberdeen wing. And we talked about him a little bit already. But then moving on to the MVP, Adam Duvall. The guy has stood on his head at times. And no deny, and there are times he's struggled, but everybody is going to. And he takes it heavy. I've seen him. I watched him in Minot one time after a game just leaning against the wall just by himself. Like, you could tell that he was just going through every shot and every save. And I just looked at him. I'm like, bud, you played really well. Like, don't beat yourself up on this. He takes it personally, and you know, I don't think the Aberdeen Wings would be in the position that they are right now, on the edge of clinching a playoff spot without the goaltending. Yeah. That we've seen all year from both goaltenders, but certainly from Adam.
Yeah, you know, and Adam won his teammates over from the start of training camp with just the type of individual he is. He's got a personality to him. He's a really caring individual, and you know, he loves to play, and he's played a lot of games as a, you know, young goaltender. It's really hard to throw a young goaltender, you know, of his age into the position that he had to get into. Mm-hmm. With so many games and such a workload. But you know, he is a big reason why we have an opportunity to make the playoffs. And his teammates voted for him. They truly love him and they believe in him. And you know, he's a kid that's going to be really grateful of that award.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I'm happy that we found a way to recruit him here. And you know, hopefully he's a player we get back next year. And I think if you get a guy like Adam back, you have a pretty good chance at winning a lot of hockey games.
Well, you know, it's interesting to add to that a little bit. You just mentioned, you know, when you're a goaltender and you have the support of the players that are playing in front of you, they're going to block that extra shot. They're going to, you know, when somebody's roughing you up in the blue paint in the crease there or whatever, you know, they're going to have your back that much more. And that's an important piece too. Is when you have the support of the locker room, that adds a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you always want your team playing for your goaltender, and that's not always the case.
No.
See it over a lot of years that teams play different in front of different goaltenders, and they really respect Adam. And that's not that take anything away from Corey. I'm just, you know, talking about Adam because he's mm-hmm. been named the MVP, mm-hmm. and the guys truly love him. And, you know, Adam takes losses about as hard as I do. and he always wants back in there, and he's always preparing himself, you know, for the next opportunity. So glad that the team seen it, and he was voted MVP.
I love the goaltending tandems sometimes. You know, the way these guys work, and you know, the way, like you mentioned, Croy, the way that Croy and Adam work together and the way they support each other. You know, Adam would get upset and, you know, break a stick one time I saw him, you know, and Croy went straight over to him and was just like, I got you, you know, like as a change is being made or whatever. I love seeing that the teamwork, camaraderie, and certainly playing a position like they play. It is different than the rest of the guys in these locker or in this locker room for sure. Well, as far as the standings go, Minot has clinched the Central Division now. Bismarck is in second, Austin in third, Wings sitting in fourth on the bubble, kind of there with St. Cloud there with the same amount of points but fewer losses. Fewer wins. So the tiebreaker goes to the Wings and the North Iowa at the bottom of the division. Wings move on to North Iowa this weekend. We go down to Mason City to take them on to close out the regular season. Interestingly enough, Minot and Bismarck will play each other. Austin and St. Cloud will play each other this weekend. So it really is going to come down to the very final game of the season, very final game of the regular season anyway, and final game of the weekend. So things are interesting, that is for sure. But the Wings have their playoff lives, obviously, so does Austin and St. Cloud. But there's a lot on the line, and we know that. We've talked about it for weeks here about how every point matters, every point counts. Big weekend, to be able to get some from Austin here on Friday night there too. All right, Coach, I will let you get going here. We've got again. Thanks so much for everything that you do. Thanks so much to everybody that came to the awards banquet. You know, the support of the community has meant so much to this organization over the years. There's no denying that, and to see somewhat 250 people, something like that, in the Shrine Center and cheering on these players and supporting this team on a Sunday evening. It's amazing. It's great to see. So thank you so much for your time. And yeah, good luck against North Iowa here this weekend.
Thanks, Trey.
And once again, that's our very own Jay KleinConnect with head coach Scott Langer. That's it for us and our time together here today. Don't forget the Wings are back in action this Friday and Saturday in North Iowa, 7:10 for your puck drop on 94.1 The Rock. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.